Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2024. Today, the weighted average cost of capital, and then a quiz. The subject matter of this class today is some not intense but kind of complicated math. And so when I get to that these days, I have a template, an Excel template. Now you will have to follow along fairly carefully, but If you just put the numbers in from the narrative, the story problem, just get the numbers out of the problem and put out of the story and put them into the Excel sheet, you will get your answers, and that is a joy with this, because this particular one usually took up at least 3 hours of class time back in the day when we used paper and just regular old calculators to do it. But now with Excel, it works a lot more efficiently. But like I said, you have to follow along. There will be a template for you to download, and then I've got a word problem that'll go along with it so that I can show you how it's worded and how you move the words into the Excel. But before we do that, a brief look at the numbers just to get the day going, and this is about as unspectacular as a day can get. It's obviously, you see green, so it's everything's up, but those are numbers that are almost like saying nothing is happening. The Dow up 0.07%, and the S&P 500 up 0.06, and the NASDAQ 0.06. Very quiet. Mainly because two forces are at play here. One is that the expectation that the Federal Reserve was going to push short-term rates down a couple of times this year, that seems to not be on the table now. Inflation just keeps showing these glowing embers, and the Fed is not going to let go of the rate where it is until it is absolutely sure that the inflation is dead and gone for good. And that just doesn't seem to be what the data is telling us now. It keeps wanting to flame back up a little bit. As such, the markets are going to not be happy. But the economy is showing really good strength. And so we can't really be bears. This is not a bearish economy at all. So you've got these countervailing forces that are kind of keeping everyone in place, so waiting for the next exciting thing to happen. Well, unfortunately, there are some interesting things. Crude oil has lost some ground, fortunately, but it is staying right in that 82 to 88 trading range that has been there for well over a month now. It seems to be happy there. So we've got stability of oil prices. However, gold, even silver, those commodities are showing some disturbing signs of life. Two things could be going on. Commodities tend to be inflation sensitive, so that might, those price increases might be the result of inflation expectations. But on the other hand, commodities do go up in price as an economy gathers steam, simply because there's more demand for these base metals and other such commodities. So that might be, this price increase in metals might be just the sign that the economy is underway and it's gathering strength. So it's hard to say which one it is at any given point, but there's definitely some strength. The bulls are having a good time with gold and silver and a lot of the other metals right now, too. Fortunately, oil has sort of lost its ambition to get very high, so that's good news. Now the bonds, we have the bond yields are up 5 basis points. That's 0.5%. Is that half? No, that's not. 5 basis points, 0.05%. So that's not good, because that means interest rates are having some slight upward pressure. Yields are up, so bond investors are selling, driving the price down, and hence the yield goes up. Well, they're not, it's kind of obvious, they're not taking that money and throwing it into stocks right now, but it's kind of troublesome that money might be going into the commodities, but that's not likely. It's probably going into cash. Well, Tokyo finally is having some bull days. It's not much of a bull. Well, that is a good day. Tokyo was up almost 0.5% last night. So they're doing strong. And even London has had a couple of good days too. So globally, there's definitely a good sentiment. And that means the U.S. is participating in something that's more of a global optimism, and that's good for you guys, because that means better jobs coming up, more of them, and we do have a really strong employment picture in the economy. How long that lasts? A good recovery. To give you an idea, recessions historically over the past nearly century now, recessions have on average lasted 3 to 6 months. Expanding economies tend to have much longer lives. So if we really are in a good time economically, it should last for at least a couple more years, long enough for you guys to get out of this popsicle joint and get out there and get your jobs before the next recession comes. So that's a little bit of encouragement there for you. Now, on for the show of the day. First things first, here's what you need to do. You're going to go over here to your files folder in Canvas. And go get your spreadsheets. Click on the spreadsheets folder. If I can find, there it is. And in this, you definitely want to follow along with me. Go down here to WACC Final. That's an Excel file. Over to the three vertical dots, download this. And you will see, I'm going to have to reduce the size of this a little bit to get it all in here. You should still be able to see it. And just like all of my other sheets, white space, that's where you fill in numbers. The yellow or the peachy orange, you don't touch those, for heaven's sakes. Leave them alone. These are the ones that you will peel out of the word problem. Now over here in the files, you will see just below the WACC final Excel sheet, you'll see the WACC problem. That's the one from which these numbers came. And I'll walk you through it here. Before I do this though, I will motivate it. I'll set it up for you so you can see what we're doing. Nope, that's not the one. Finding markers at work. Ah, here we go. Good. Okay. Now, the weighted average cost of capital. The formula, again, is the weight of debt times the after-tax cost of debt. And remember that we don't use a coupon rate on the debt. We use the yield to maturity on the debt. And then plus the weight of preferred stock in the portfolio, in the total assets, times the
cost of preferred plus the weight of retained earnings, the weight of common stock in the total assets, times the cost of common stock plus the weight of new common stock times the cost of new common stock. Now, this sheet and my problems that I would give you a problem on a final exam or possibly on a quiz, I would not do the new common stock. We would say that's just not, they don't need any more capital than what they've got in their retained earnings and in debt. They don't need anything new. So we are going to grind through it. So what you will need to do, though, in order to accomplish this, here's the component cost of capital in the first column. Then in the second column, the market value of that component. You'll see what I mean. And then from the market values, you'll get the weight of each component. This is where it can get painful, because you've got to get market values. So you've got your component costs, R sub D, the debt, let me give this, and then you've got your preferred R sub P. And then you've got your common stock. And I won't do the new stock for this one. But the common stock is R sub S, okay? Now the model will just be, we'll get the yield to maturity after tax, yield to maturity on the debt. The R sub P, we're just going to do simply the dividend over the price of the preferred. And for the common stock, we'll use the D1 over the D1, give myself enough room here, over the price of the stock plus the G. The market values are trickier, but if you put the numbers into the Excel sheet right, they'll come out. They'll just calculate for each of these, and then you add these up, these market values, and this is the total market value of the company. Now, follow with me here. And I'll do the problem and explain what's going on with each step as I do it. But as I've told you before, in my long years teaching math, mostly algebra, some differential equations and calculus, but a lot of algebra, the rule is always the same. You get the numbers out of the word problem and then dispense with the words. Just get those numbers out of the problem and put them into your calculator, your whatever it is you're using, in our case, an Excel spreadsheet. And then the problem is quite a bit more manageable, even without Excel. But let's go through it.
And I'll read it off here just for the purpose of the podcast. VID common stock just paid a $1.80 per share dividend that is expected to grow at 2% per year. Let's stop right there and go over to the spreadsheet. We've got a common stock dividend of $1.80 per share. It just paid that, so that's a D0, and we got a growth rate of 2%. Well, if I prowl around here, and actually, that's not 1.5%. That should be, did I say 2% on that? Yes, I did. Yeah, that's okay. That's easy to fix, 2% there. But I'll fix it here. Just, it doesn't matter. I'm just... Pardon?
That's for the preferred, not the common, isn't it?
Oh. You're right. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I did fix it. I'm sorry, I didn't go down far enough. I've explained where these numbers are coming from, the problem here. Thank you. Okay, so the preferred, we've got the common dividend. Growth rate, 2.00%. Common dividend, 1.80%. We've got the first sentence. Done. It's out of the problem, word problem, and into the sheet. Now we go back over and we look at the word problem again. The company has 22 million shares of common stock outstanding at $34 per share. So looking around here, the price of the common stock, there we go. You put it there, $34. Well, where the hell does that 22 million, there it is. You put it there. And that's the second sentence finished up. Whoops. Now we go on. The company has 120,000 shares of 1.5% cumulative preferred, par value $85 per share. So we go back over to the sheet. Well, let's see now. Number of preferred shares, 120. Thousand, par value 85, and it is currently priced at $63 per share. That's that number. And that is all of the numbers on the first mini table on the left. Notice also that the 120, in some places you need a number more than once, it'll copy over. It does it on its own. Okay, let's go on here. I keep doing that. Okay, the company has 12 million shares. $12 million at par value of 4.25% debt due in 2031, quoting at 102.40 on the 100. As you see, this is just a miniature version of your bond calculations table. It's right here. Term, 2031, so it's 7 years left. Coupon, 4.25%. And the price on the 100 is 102.4. It's all there for you. And then it will calculate your yield to maturity. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is everything. I want you to notice something over here. The par value of the bonds was $12 million. But that's not the market value, because these bonds are selling at 102.4 on the 100. So the market value of the bonds isn't 12 million, it's 12 million times 1.024. In other words, they're a little more valuable than just the 12 million. You don't need to do the calculation, it is done for you. I just want you to appreciate when I say market value there, it will fix the par value of the bonds and reflect what the market says the value is. The same will be true, of course, for the stock. The market value of the common stock is just going to be, what is it, $34 a share times the, where the hell are the, 22 million shares outstanding. It's going to do all of this for you. See, the market value, these numbers from here are pushing right into the WACC calculation. The preferred stock is selling at $63 a share for 120,000 shares. So that value is $7,500,000. And the common stock, as I said, 22 million shares, and they're $34 each. So that's a total of $752,400,000. It's getting the market values for you so you don't have to go through that tedium. Otherwise, you'd have to take the par value times what the quote. You'd have to take the price per share of the stock times the number of common shares outstanding, the price per share of the preferred times the number of preferred shares outstanding. This does it for you. All of those calculations are done for you. And then they add them up, and that's the total value of the corporation. $772,188,000. And actually, that should be peach too. Should fix that. They add, and the weights, they should add up to 100%, and they do. As long as you know where to put the numbers from the problem into the Excel sheet, it does it for you, and then it calculates the weighted average cost of capital. So if you know how to handle this, there's a homework problem in your Cengage homework that asks about this. And of course, on the final, you'll get a problem like this. If you know how to do this, it'll look just like what I've put here. I'll make it so that it looks identical. And all you have to do is know where to put the numbers into the Excel sheet. And you should get the weighted average cost of capital as a consequence of it. See, the weighted average cost of capital, it's taking the cost of each times its weight and then adding all those up with a sum product. Some product of the cost array times against the weight array. And that's how it's getting that sum product. Just like that. I want you to notice something here. Notice that debt and preferred stock are minimal in the capital structure. The debt is only about 1.6% of the capital structure. The common stock is about 1% of the a little less than 1%. So this capital structure is dominated by common stock. And notice how common stock is the most expensive of the component costs. And yet it takes up 97.5% of the total cost. That's why the weighted average cost of capital is so close to the cost of common stock. Because the cheaper sources of capital are actually not have hardly any weight. So just as a passing exercise for you, and you might not want to do this unless you, well, if you do this, don't save the sheet again. Notice how I have $12 million face value in bonds outstanding. Suppose that we got new projects coming in, and we say, okay, let's stop using our retained earnings for heaven's sake. That's the most expensive component we have. Suppose that we have $30 million in projects coming up. Let's put that all in debt. So the debt goes from $12 million to $42 million. Watch what happens to the weighted average cost of capital. If I put the debt, which is cheaper, and I up it. Well, look at that. See how the weighted average cost of capital falls? Because you're using a cheaper source of capital. And notice how debt begins to show a little more weight. Now it's more than 5% of the capital structure. Well, let's keep going up. Suppose that we're going to use 20 million, we need 20 million more for new projects. So let's put that to 62 million, not use anything else, just debt. So we go to 62 million. Do you see how using that cheaper source of capital is drawing down the weighted average cost of capital? In other words, on that weighted average cost of capital curve, as the percent of debt in the capital structure increases, our weighted average cost of capital is falling. That's why we care about that optimal capital structure. Is because this company started out way back on the way up there. The percent of debt was very small, and so our weighted average cost of capital. Let me go backward. When we were at the original, just a 1.5% of the capital structure was debt. Our weighted average cost of capital was 7.25%. But as we began to move forward, with putting more debt, the percentage of debt in the capital structure was going up to 5%, it went down, and went up to 7.7%, it went down even further. That's why this matters to companies, is this weighted average cost of capital. They need to know, should we use debt, equity, what is the best to use? And this is all to the end of reducing the weighted average cost of capital, the most important overall measure of a company's cost structure. That's why this is all big and important. One last pointer that I should bring up here is the weighted average cost of capital itself. You will, and actually on Wednesday, we're going to do what's called capital budgeting, where we figure out what projects we should accept and what projects we should reject. In order to do that, we have to find the present value of the future money we're going to make off a project. We got to find its present value now and compare that to what it's going to cost to run the project. The problem is that you have to have a discount rate for the present value of the future expected cash flows. That's where the problem comes in. Most companies use the weighted average cost of capital as the discount rate for all of their projects. And I mean, it's a very normal thing. You get the weighted average cost of capital, its most practical use is as a discount rate for your future expected cash flows. But that's a very bad thing to do, because every project is going to have its own risk and therefore its own discount rate. So using a one-size-fits-all discount rate, the weighted average cost of capital, is going to give you false results. Safe projects probably should have discount rates below the weighted average cost of capital. Risky projects should have discount rates above the weighted average cost of capital. So you're going to make decisions that are not good. And companies do, and then they wonder why the projects don't work out the way they thought they would. It's a very common thing. It's better to customize. Use a weighted average cost of capital to tell you what kind of capital you should use to finance projects. But don't use it for the discount rate for your projects at all. You're just asking for trouble. Now, the upshot of all this, practice with this table. Make up your own numbers for the prices of common stock, preferred stock, the coupons on bonds, the term on a bond, all those different things. Just try different problems. I guarantee you that if you know how to use this sheet effectively, what could be hours of calculations turns into a couple of minutes if you know how to use it right. And if you have problems with it, want to know where did this number come from, come to my office or come to the teaching assistant's office and we'll show you how quickly and easily this is done. To give you an idea, before I started using Excel, this one problem would have taken up at least two classes, probably three classes. It's that intense. But with using Excel, it's what, 20, 30 minutes, and then I'm done with it. And so are you. Which brings us to the next thing. You do have a quiz to take today. And when you are finished with that quiz, that is all I will have for you. I thank you.